Parenting reflects our childhood. Becoming a parent can feel overwhelming, making us seem inadequate and inexperienced, almost like we've taken on a high-level job we aren't prepared for. However, this isn't true. Every new parent has valuable personal insights into parenting, not from a parent's perspective but from being a child. We were all children once, and to grasp the present, we must understand the past. To understand our child's behavior, we must examine the primary influence in their life, ourselves. As their first and most significant role model, we need to know ourselves before we can truly understand our children. One of the biggest factors that negatively impact parent-child relationships is our childhood experiences. These experiences shape our emotional responses and parenting styles. For example, Oscar, a client of Philippa Perry, noticed anger rise in him when his 18-month-old son left food uneaten or dropped it. After reflecting on his childhood, Oscar realized that similar behavior led to punishment from his parents, causing his past experiences to influence his parenting. Fortunately, we can change these negative reactions. To do this, we need to explore our childhood and look at both the positive and negative memories. Reflect on your emotions. How did you feel about your treatment then, and how do you feel now? Understanding these experiences and their emotional impact is a powerful tool for compassionate parenting. When raising children, use your negative emotions as warning signs. Parents often react with anger or frustration due to subconscious feelings of longing, jealousy, or humiliation from childhood. By recognizing anger or frustration as signals to explore our past, we can move away from negative reactions and empathize with our child. Ultimately, we can grow into the caring parents we aspire to be. Your child needs a supportive environment. Think of a tree. For it to thrive, it needs space, nutritious soil, sunlight, and water. If the soil lacks nutrients or the tree doesn't get enough water and light, it will still grow, but not as tall as it could. The same goes for children. Without an optimal environment, their growth can be stunted. The good news is that an optimal environment isn't limited to a specific family structure. It doesn't matter if a child is raised in a nuclear family or by separated parents. Over 25% of children in the UK live in single-parent households, and research shows this has little effect on a child's emotional development or school performance when considering factors like household finances and parental education. So, what creates an optimal environment? It's a more flexible idea than it seems. It refers to the quality of the relationships in a child's life. The most significant relationships are with the people they live with, along with a close circle that may include grandparents, siblings, cousins, and friends. First, ensure these relationships are strong, intimate, and fulfilling. They shape how children see themselves and interact with others, which is vital for their mental and emotional well-being. For single parents, maintaining a civil relationship with the co-parent is crucial, no matter how challenging it may be. Speak positively about them and highlight their strengths, not just for their sake but for your child's. Children often feel their identity is linked to both parents, and criticizing the co-parent can negatively affect a part of your child's self-image. It's also essential to handle conflicts healthily. Unresolved arguments can create a tense atmosphere and may lead children to feel responsible for the conflict, causing them anxiety or sadness. Avoid fights aimed at winning. Instead, approach every disagreement to resolve the issue, even if you still disagree afterward. Healthy arguments start with expressing feelings, acknowledging each other's emotions, and addressing one issue at a time. Support your child's feelings. Children can be frustrated because they are highly emotional and haven't yet developed logical reasoning. As they grow, they learn this skill. When a child gets upset over something minor, like not getting ice cream after dinner, our instinct is to argue or dismiss their feelings. But that's not the right approach. Humans naturally want their feelings understood and acknowledged. Denying a child's emotions, even when they seem trivial, doesn't make them go away. Instead, children learn to suppress them, which can be harmful. Imagine your 10-year-old throws a tantrum about visiting grandma because of the icky soup she makes. You might say, "We are going to grandma's for dinner, you should be grateful," and that's that. However, this teaches your child that her icky feelings are invalid. Now imagine next week her piano teacher touches her inappropriately, making her feel icky again. In your mind, these events are vastly different, but to her, both feelings are the same, and she might suppress the more serious one, fearing it will be dismissed. Fortunately, there's a better way to handle children's feelings. Instead of ignoring or fighting their emotions, we should validate them. This doesn't mean giving in to every demand, like for ice cream, but acknowledging their feelings. A simple comment like, "You're upset because you want that ice cream, right?" shows you understand. For example, Dave, whose 4-year-old daughter Nova was inflexible and upset when routines changed, learned this. When Nova couldn't sit in her favorite car seat, Dave would argue with her. But one day, when her cousin sat in her seat, Dave looked her in the eye and said, "It's really hard for you to see Max in your seat. You want to sit there, don't you?" Nova calmed down, and when Dave promised she could sit there next time, she found another seat, and the situation was resolved. Babies require secure attachment. Newborns are at a tough developmental stage, being defenseless and fully dependent on us for everything, support, shelter, and food. Making things harder, they can't communicate their needs. This extreme dependency makes babies naturally form attachments to others. Babies are thrust into a confusing world full of unfamiliar experiences. To feel secure, they form strong attachments to the people who consistently care for them. To help them feel comforted, we need to develop a secure attachment style by regularly meeting their emotional and physical needs. For example, not letting them cry too long for food or closeness helps them grow up more optimistic, social, and trusting. Once this bond is formed, babies may become clingy, preferring their primary caregiver. This might seem overwhelming, but it shows they trust and feel safe with us. This clinginess will ease when babies develop object permanence, which is the ability to understand that things exist even when not seen. While this concept is simple for adults, infants must learn it. When they do, it becomes easier to care for them because they'll know you'll return even if you're not in sight. However, emotional support doesn't stop here. As toddlers, they'll still need us to guide them towards strong mental and emotional health. We can promote mental health. The growing recognition of mental health's importance is positive, even if it took us reaching breaking point to get here. Children's mental health is even more crucial than adults because they are more impressionable and less resilient, and their early mental health affects them later in life. Thankfully, there are ways to support their psychological well-being. First, we must use engaged observation. Often, when we talk to someone, we're not fully listening but thinking of our reply. Engaged observation means truly focusing on what the other person is expressing. Doing this with children helps build a loving connection that can last into their adulthood. Next, we should manage our phone use around children. Phone addiction is a serious issue, and being glued to screens can harm their well-being. It takes away time from them and can make them feel alienated, possibly leading them to develop phone addiction too. Instead of focusing on our phones, we need to give children our full attention. When they feel ignored, they may act out in ways that frustrate adults. However, responding sensitively to their needs from the start can prevent such behavior and make them feel valued. Lastly, never overlook the importance of play. Play is more than fun, it's how children work. For example, a child hosting a tea party for her dolls is using her imagination to create a story. By encouraging and showing interest in these activities, we help her engage with the world and build curiosity. Viewing conflict as a battle is unproductive. Many of us grew up with parents who viewed child behavior as a battle of wills. Every tantrum, desire, or conflict seemed like a struggle between us and our caregivers. But there's a better way to approach these situations. For example, when Philippa Perry's daughter, Flo, was 3, she wanted to walk to the shops instead of riding in her stroller. On the way home, she stopped and sat on a doorstep. Philippa Perry's first reaction was frustration, wanting to get home quickly. But then she realized the timing didn't matter, so after Flo watched the ants, they resumed their walk. Later, Philippa Perry understood there were other factors involved. Flo wasn't used to walking long distances and may have felt overwhelmed by the busy street. Instead of viewing the situation as a power struggle, Philippa Perry learned to handle it differently. But what about teaching good behavior and social skills? There are 4 key skills everyone needs for positive behavior, and we should practice these ourselves since our children will mirror us. The first skill is tolerating frustration. Philippa managed her frustration with Flo's delay, handling it calmly. The second skill is flexibility, which means adapting to situations without letting our desires take over. Philippa showed this by adjusting her plans and allowing Flo to rest. Third, we need to build our problem-solving skills. This involves addressing conflicts before they escalate, and sometimes it means avoiding problems altogether, like letting Flo rest instead of forcing her to keep walking. The last skill is empathy. Seeing things from another's point of view is vital. By considering Flo's perspective, Philippa eased her frustration and made a better choice. If we can develop these skills and model them for our children, we'll help them grow into emotionally healthy adults, something they'll appreciate later. Key points. 1. Reflecting on your childhood can help you understand your parenting reactions and improve your approach. 2. A supportive environment, built on healthy relationships, is vital for a child's emotional growth. 3. Validating a child's feelings develops trust and emotional resilience, even when their emotions seem trivial. 4. Secure attachments in early life help children feel safe and develop trust in the world around them. 5. Engaged observation and reducing distractions like phones strengthen your connection with your child. 6. Play is essential for children's development, developing creativity and curiosity about the world. 7. Modeling skills like patience, flexibility, empathy, and problem-solving teach children positive behavior.